5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's time for the Lunch Rush, taking a look at the top stories trending in the sports world nationally. And a couple of Tom Brady stories. The first one's not really much of anything, but we do know that Tom Brady seems to be picking up right where he left off. That Todd Bowles said, hey, he looks good, he's familiar with the offense, so him coming back and getting back to work, it's kind of normal. Just getting used to the heat and getting used to the guys, but he ran the offense well. Tight end Cameron Bates said things went pretty much as expected. Wherever Tom was, he was working out still and getting good reps in. If anyone can get away with the 11-day break during training camp, it's Tom. He came back kind of firing on all cylinders. Yeah, we're all excited he's back and ready to move on. What a weird thing. It's bizarre to me, but the ultimate goal, I suppose, is that the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl, and we're not talking about Tom Brady taking a little trip in between training camp and the preseason. That's not the big Tom Brady story, though. For some reason, Dana White is talking about, UFC president Dana White is talking about Tom Brady and his chance to, the opportunity to go to the Raiders a few years back. Here's UFC president Dana White dropping a bombshell last weekend, revealing that Tom Brady to the Raiders was nearly a done deal in 2020.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, I talked Brady into playing for the Raiders. And Gronk was coming with him. And they were negotiating the deal, and they were really close to getting it done, and then Gruden pulled the deal, and Brady was not happy about it. Neither was I, and and that's that. He went.
Okay. Well, you had Mark Davis comment on that, Raiders owner. He was asked specifically about Dana White's comment. He said, I heard about White's comments. He told the Las Vegas Review-Journal, that was that. That was what, 2 or 3 years ago or something? I don't know, man. Talk to Dana. I remember that Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. That's basically what I remember. I have no idea. Dana has the stories. You know what I say, Angel? If you're asked a yes or no question, and if it's anything other than an easy yes or a no, there might be some truth to this thing. Tom Brady's being linked to so many teams since he left New England, since he joined Tampa Bay. Can you imagine him in Las Vegas? I mean, that was what I heard about. It was a rumor that we heard about. And then Dana White basically saying it was a done deal, but Gruden pulled out at the last second. Crazy.
Definitely interesting. It seems almost every team in the NFL outside of Kansas City was looking to get Tom Brady.
I think you're right. I'm sure Green Bay made a phone call or two, even though they have Aaron Rodgers. Good news for you today, Angel. Nick Saban's not going anywhere. Alabama approves Ray's extension for football coach Nick Saban through 2030. He's going to coach until he just dies on the field. Never going to end, man. They approved him 1 year.
Forever.
And you're happy about that, right?
Oh, extremely.
What's life going to be like when Nick Saban's not the head coach?
Oh, man. Put his consciousness into a computer robot thing. We have robot umpires. We have robot coaches soon.
Then just make it like Futurama style, that kind of stuff.
I can see a Nick Saban robot.
Yeah, it's an amended deal, runs through February 2030, and we'll pay him an average of $11.7 million a year. So he's not hurting for money at all. This raise edges Saban's annual compensation over that of Georgia coach Kirby Smart, who signed a new deal earlier in the offseason. So get him back over the top, man. We got to take care of Nick Saban. All right, finally, not really a Lunch Rush type of story here. More of a story that needs the time, you know, deserved to talk about. Northern Colorado Athletics mourn the loss of Kay Dalton. Very tough day for UNC fans. UNC Athletics Hall of Famer. He spent 17 years on the sidelines for UNC. He was the offensive coordinator in the late 80s, head coach from 2000 to 2005. He was a part of the 96-97 Division II championship team, the teams we hear so much about throughout Greeley and college football and the Colorado football scene, helped guide Court McGuffey, to the Harlan Hill Award in 1999, another big name. I actually had a chance to meet him. Let's see. Well, look at that. 2005 was his final year. That was my first year at UNC. They were making that transition. I want to say it was that year, maybe it was the year before, into Division I FCS football. And I was working for the UNC Mirror, the college newspaper. I just started at school. I was dabbling in that kind of stuff on the writing stories, not talking so much. And I actually got to sit down with Kay Dalton, and he was very open and talked to me about the challenges. I mean, he said people think that just switching over to D1 automatically makes you a great team. There's so much that goes into it. So much. And boy, he wasn't lying. UNC has, of course, struggled to follow up what Dalton did and led during his time with UNC. He has a storied career, man. I mean, he's been everywhere. He took over in 2000 when Joe Glenn left for Montana. That year, Dalton led the Bears to the North Central Conference title in 2002. They went 12-2 on the year, including a perfect 8-0 in the NCC. He was a player at Colorado State. He was a tight end. He started as a tight end for CSU. He played with former UNC coaches Buck Rollins. That name is legendary up here. I saw Ed McCaffrey tweeted something about him that was very nice. And, you know, you just look at these kind of legends that were really responsible for, at the time, putting UNC on the map. And again, he was a part of that 96-97 Division II championship team. So, tough day for Bears fans all over. And especially, like, those Bears fans that have just really been hoping desperately that they can get back to where he left things. And again, my conversation with him is he knew it was going to be a battle. He called it like it was and said, this will be tough. Ed McCaffrey tweeted out, it's a sad day for UNC Bears football. We've lost a legend, longtime football coach, and UNC Athletics Hall of Famer, Kay Dalton. We send prayers to his wife, June, and their 8 children. Rest in peace. So, my brain goes to, obviously, it's a terrible loss. It's tough for this entire community. And then it goes to, can we get back that magic that he created, you know, in his honor? Maybe this is the time to turn this thing around. You're a UNC recent grad, Angel, and you no doubt heard the name of Kay Dalton echoing through those halls and dorms and everything. I mean, UNC, that was the heyday for the University of Northern Colorado.
Oh, certainly. When you go outside of the basketball arena, you see the two championship, you know, plaques, I guess what they're called, and you see the name of the players, the coaches, and you look and you see, wow, like, this school was a championship school at one point.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously making the switch, it's going to be a tough transition with just the size and the amount of opportunities they have at this school. But that tradition and that pride really has been there the entire time. He set that foundation for being proud of UNC football. And if you talk to Coach McCaffrey, you talk to some of the players, they repeatedly mention getting back that pride, getting back that effort, that tradition of Bears football. And if this is something that the team and the organization and the fans can rally around and really give some energy to this season, I think it's a great thing. Obviously sad, but you get to remember the great things that Coach Dalton did.
Wouldn't that be something, too, if would be kind of poetic if this is the season that things turn around and the Bears are finally able to kind of get back on the map. Ed McCaffrey's name is big, and if you add successful football to Ed McCaffrey's name, I mean, you can really start to build off of what Kay Dalton, what he did in his time here. Joe Glenn, who was the head coach in those championship runs that Kay Dalton was a part of, said, our family is so sorry to hear about the passing of Kay Dalton. Our entire team, coaching staff, and athletic department are all thankful and lucky to have shared a fabulous run at UNC with Kay, coordinating a wonderful group of offensive coaches and players. The magical run of 1996 and 1997 by the Bears was absolutely the blend of a great coaching staff coming together and working as one to build back-to-back national champions. Kay spent many years in the NFL and collegiate football and was amazing the way he prepared for every single game and every situation. I know I speak for the staff and all the athletes that Coach Dalton touched that he will never be forgotten. Again, that was Joe Glenn, who was the head coach in those great, great times for the UNC Bears. 15 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk. We'll continue pushing on college football, man. College football 0 week is back. We have real football to talk about, so we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Hi. 19 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles. We're doing our Top Text Tuesday today, and we're hooking you up to go to Cables. So whoever wins this, pop on by No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. They had a big trade night on Saturday night where you can go. There's going to be opportunities where you can take your stuff and trade, buy, sell, whatever. Take a look at different collections and maybe add to it. Maybe offload some of it. There's a lot of opportunities. There's no limit, as they say, to what you can collect at No Limit Collectibles. It is Top Text Tuesday today. Near Broke texting, and Tom Brady's likely going to miss the playoffs. He's on The Masked Singer. There was a rumor that he took a break to go to be on that show and filmed it.
I mean, could he have still done this in the Bahamas? Possibly.
Or did he even go to the Bahamas and the whole thing was to do The Masked Singer? Did you see that rumor?
I saw it. I didn't give much credit to it.
I didn't either because I don't...
Usually that stuff you can kind of figure out if it's true or not. Tom Brady doesn't... I don't know. He doesn't seem like the singing type.
But that's how they get you, man.
I've never seen the show, but I know the basic premise.
I never have either, but I get... Yeah, I'm with you. I know what it's like.
It doesn't really make sense. Like, how are you supposed to figure out who this person is?
And what is it like? Help me out here, Near Broke, or somebody. Is it just like five different singers come on, and you got to try to guess who it is based on the song? I have no idea the structure of the show. Like, are there hints throughout? Do they sing several songs, and then you have to try to guess who they are? Like, I don't know. It's a very interesting game show. How does it go that long? But that was the rumor, that he was out filming. But how long does that take? I don't know. It's still wacky, dude. This Tom Brady deal. It's the most bizarre thing, but I mean, maybe if he had it booked and that was the thing, because he was retired. Maybe he seriously was, in his mind, done. And then as the, 42 days? How many days was he gone? Something like that?
Some number.
Changed his mind? This is a weird deal. And even
nobody
players...
Nobody else could do this.
Nobody could do... Could even... Rodgers couldn't do this. We'd be freaking out if Rodgers did this. Now, anyway. Last
he
year...
He takes his vacations during the offseason and
right.
drinks tea.
Yes, drinks herbal tea and mushroom tea and trips out a little bit and does all that crazy stuff. It's kind of been a weird news structure surrounding guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of years. Because now you got all this Tom Brady stuff that, you know, maybe he was going to go to Miami, maybe he was going to go to the Raiders. Rodgers stuff, taking psychedelic tea, and the NFL has to come out and basically say, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Rodgers basically re-signed with the Packers, but before he wanted to make sure he could air out his grievances publicly to everybody about what they did and how they screwed up over the years with him. They have a lot of power, don't they?
Maybe it's because a lot of these older quarterbacks have since retired. You know, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning for some, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. So we're kind of running out of that generation of quarterbacks. We see the up-and-coming generation that's already doing successful things, and we're left with these two old guys
that are still doing
it in the nicest way possible, two of the best to ever do it.
Yes.
And we're just kind of, whatever crazy old man stories they're coming up with, we just run with it.
Yeah, Tom Brady's like, ever since he went to Tampa Bay, we've seen a different Tom Brady. We've seen drunk Tom Brady after the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. We didn't think we'd see that guy. We've seen him spoof a few things, do some funny videos and things like that. He's more active on Twitter. We've seen the Tom Brady personality that's a little more likable coming out of Tampa Bay. So we've seen more of that. With Rodgers, I mean, he's always been pretty open, but he's been way more open now, right? I mean, we hear from Aaron Rodgers on everything he's talking about.
I don't know if that's due to the fact that he maybe hasn't felt supported the last couple of years, and obviously the draft picks and all of that. Maybe he's just trying to make attention for himself, and now the attention's on him because that's the only guy you have on that offense.
Yeah, and that's why I'm curious to see how that division will round out. Now, again, Aaron Rodgers makes that big of a difference, no question about it. If he's on the team, then this team should be considered the favorites to win the NFC North. But I don't, you know, how far are they going to go? I mean, you're competing with Minnesota and Detroit and Chi-Town. So, yeah, they'll probably win the division, but how deep into the play? Or you, what do you think?
I actually have the Vikings winning.
Did you
division.
Hear Pritchard? Yeah, Pritchard said maybe that's.
I think the Vikings are just a more complete team than the Packers.
So Mike Pritchard was on with us in the first hour, and that was where we started getting into the NFC Championship odds. And he feels like the trends are kind of showing a wild card might be the one to bet on this year, which would be a Minnesota, unless they win the division, of course, and whatever. It could still be tight where maybe Minnesota doesn't win the division, but they're damn close, and they sneak in as a wild card. Or they win the division, and you take the bet there. Minnesota's getting a lot of play. You're getting a lot of looks right now. Were you shocked at Pritchard's, well, not just his deal, but Vegas Insider has the Broncos, you know, fourth in the AFC Championship odds at this stage. It's the Bills plus 300, Kansas City plus 5, the Chargers plus 750, and then the Broncos plus 850. Everybody else is in the thousands beyond that. It's the Bengals next behind the Broncos, but the Broncos are plus 850 according to VegasInsider.com. Is it that's the power of Russell Wilson?
I think so, because you wouldn't give those odds to a first-time head coach. You wouldn't give those odds to, not that it matters, but a brand-new owner, a team possibly going through a transition period. And if it's just Russell Wilson, then, yeah, you're going to get the 10-plus game push.
Yeah. B-Rad, when you throw 33 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions, and are top 10 in passing yards, but literally nobody cares because you're Kirk Cousins. Cousins has had a... That's a good one, B-Rad. Is that Top Text Tuesday worthy right now? Oh! B-Rad coming out of nowhere with this. Absolutely love it. Great. That's a front runner. That's front runner for Top Text Tuesday.
Can't forget about Kirk Cousins, man.
No, you can't. Why is he so forgotten?
You can't forget about him, but he'll always remind you.
Like, why? Why is he... He was forgotten in Washington, too.
Well, he started doing that, you like that stuff, and everyone fell in love with him. And then he went to Minnesota, signed a big contract, and that's where Kirk is.
He was linked to the Broncos a lot because it kind of just made sense.
I get him and Case Keenum confused. They're very similar.
Their names kind of sound alike. Kirk,
yeah, they
and
both
Case.
Played in Minnesota. So.
They both. Did Case play in Washington for a short stint? Am I on some kind of herbal tea right now? Am I wrong on that? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, got it. Nailed it.
2019. Wait, no. Yes.
That's what Case Keenum's like.
Texans,
nobody
Rams,
knew.
Vikings, Broncos, Redskins at the time, Browns, and now the Bills.
And we signed him to a 2-year deal for $19 million, right? Oh, my goodness. That was a great move. Why is Kirk Cousins kind of... It is weird. They liked the you like that stuff for a second, and then it quickly ran its course.
Once he was out of Washington, it didn't really matter.
No. Pritchard mentioned... Here's the thing that you got to read in between the lines when you have these guys on. These betting gurus on. Take note of the teams that they actually mention without me asking them. Minnesota was a team that he mentioned without me asking him about it. So, I don't know. Brian Gary, one of our wonderful hosts of Good Morning NoCo. He's a Vikings guy. Maybe his dreams will come true this year.
We'll see. They got a week one matchup against the Packers, so...
And you didn't like Mike's left-handed stuff about Tua.
Yeah, it's a dumb take.
You don't like any takes that
there's
are hurting
There's 31
Tua.
NFL teams that aren't preparing on a regular basis for a lefty quarterback. Not saying it's a huge X factor and game changer, but he can roll out to his left, and a lot of quarterbacks don't do that.
It's
just
so
one
good.
Little scheme that... I'm not saying he's going to be elite. Or anything like that. That's a long ways away.
They're a playoff team in your mind, though, right?
Playoff team. I think 11, 12 wins, or 12 at the best. Anything lower than that, I'll be upset. But
I'm just looking at the AFC Championship odds, and your Dolphins are actually above the Raiders. I mean, they're answer this question for me. Why are the Browns listed above? I mean, they're middle of the pack right now. Do we really believe that they're going to come back and do something?
And this Josh Rosen guy looks pretty good in preseason. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird to me, man. It's absolutely crazy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We're going to have Mike Brohard on from CSURams.com. It'll be fun to catch up with him and talk about the Rams, as they're treating this week kind of like a pre-game week, game week, before the game week kind of deal. So what does that look like? We'll talk to Mike next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country. It's been a long, bumpy ride sitting back in the
saddle. It's time to get down, dirty up. 33 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Alla Communications Studios. We're getting closer and closer to CSU and Michigan. Cannot wait for that game. Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, how are you, man?
Good. Eating an apple.
Oh, what? Green apple, red apple, or something weird?
It's a red apple.
Okay. All right. Now I'll let that one slide. I was hoping for green for CSU, but that's fine. Maybe next week. The Rams are kind of getting into the pre-game before the pre-game kind of week, Mike. They're acting almost as if this is getting set for game week, even though it's next weekend against Michigan.
Yeah, it's basically because, you know, when you start class, that's the schedule you're going to follow. So they get the players really kind of used to what their life is going to be like during the season, because they'll still, as we all know, they are student athletes. They will be attending classes. They will be excelling in the classroom. But then this way they get to know what their schedule is going to be like, from starting with Sunday going through, so that they know what a week is like, and it helps. And once you get to that point, and now the practices are no longer split, it's everybody together, you're going to start seeing a lot more prep for Michigan and what they're going to see out on that field on September 3rd.
How much of this early portion of the week, Mike, is like straight up prep for Michigan, or is it more about prep for how we're going to be constructing a game week? How much do they start tilting toward the Michigan side of things throughout this week?
Well, just by the way they structure the practice schedule, that's structuring game week. So, but you will see like these certain periods are devoted to this. There are still periods that are devoted to just teamwork, individual drills, things like that. But, yeah, so it's constructed that way. But now, because it is game week, those periods that are about Michigan are now about Michigan, you know, or whoever the next opponent will be. You know, then you're following the Middle Tennessee State, and then it's that, Washington State, and then you got Sac State, and that gets you through non-conference. But, yeah, that's what it is. They'll know the structure. Players will get to have a feel of, okay, we go from individual, then we do this, then we do this. Okay, now we're working on the opponent. Now we're working scout team, things like that.
In your conversations with Coach Norvell, is this the ideal situation, planning for Michigan first game as the head coach for the Rams, a freshman quarterback starting, or would this be, is this something where you'd rather have maybe a different opponent, Mike? What does Coach have to say about that?
I haven't really asked him what he thinks about starting his tenure here at Colorado State against a nationally ranked team, a team that was in the college football playoff. I don't think it's anything he would shy away from. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would say, oh, God, how terrible. I can't believe they set me up this way. No, he just likes to compete. He wants to go out there and do it. He wants to see what his team is like. And, yeah, he pretty much knew. I mean, even if he – if there had been no coaching change here and he was still at Nevada, he's still looking at the same thing. They're not playing Michigan, but he's still starting with a redshirt freshman quarterback. So he was going to do that there, or he was going to do it here, and I think people are pretty happy he's doing it here. Those are situations. I mean, you know your roster and what you've got coming up to. I mean, they had a chance I mean, I remember talking to Matt Mummy in spring ball. I said, you know, you got a chance to go out and hit the transfer portal, find a quarterback with experience. And he's like, no, I'm good. I like these guys. So they've got a lot of faith in Clay. They know he's going to make some mistakes because he is a redshirt freshman. He will be making his first start. You know, you're likely to see, you know, his blind side being protected by a redshirt sophomore making his first start at left tackle. So there's going to be some youth, but there's also going to be some playmakers and some experience on the field. You got to kind of play it out.
Yeah. Well, and again, you have that school of thought, too, where teams kind of want to just, hey, you know exactly what you got. You go up against a Michigan team, and who the heck knows, you put on a decent showing. Man, that's going to make the next week seem a little bit different. But nonetheless, if it's a bad game, a rough game, you got a lot of tape to dissect, too. That's what the Broncos are doing after their Bills game over the weekend. So there's a lot of, I think, a lot of positives either way you want to slice it. If Michigan goes and does Michigan-like things, you're going to have a lot of tape to dissect and break into as you prepare for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no matter who you played, you're going to get that. You're never going to be your best game one. You generally make your biggest jump in the season from game one to game two. Then it's, you know, kind of navigating. You're still trying to get better. There are things that are going to happen during the season that are going to make this team better that might not always be seen by the fans. So, you know, you've got an offensive line that's got some experience overall, but they never played together. As the year goes along, that's going to be a group that, even if they feel cohesive now, is going to feel better with game reps and knowing how they react in game situations. So I would really expect by the middle of the season that offensive line is going to be a lot better, even if they're playing well right out of the gate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you got a defense that's going to learn. They're going to get a flow, an ebb and flow for how Freddie Banks calls a game. You know, they know what style of defense they want him to run. They know how aggressive he wants them to be. They know how he wants them to flow to the ball. But it'll also, they'll start thinking along with them. It's like, okay, I remember in this situation, okay, this is what I expected we would do. This is how we do it. Those things are going to get smoother as the season goes along.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. And what's the vibe like about Clay Millen? Or is there much talk about, from the other players on this team, about that being Clay's first start? Is that something that's even discussed, or are we just kind of trying to ignore that for the moment?
I don't think anybody's ignoring it. I mean, they all know it, but it's not like a talking point. It's not like anybody's going, oh, great, it's his first start. Everybody on that team has had to make their first start. They know what he's going through. Now that not all of them have had to make it a quarterback, which is a pretty high-profile position. But the thing you always hear about Clay is how calm he is, how mature he is for his age, how he controls the huddle. So everything you want your starting quarterback to be, he is, with the exception of being experienced, and you have to start somewhere. And for him, it's the big house at Michigan.
What's your feel, Mike? I mean, when we're looking at the quarterback for this team that could lead, hopefully, this team for the next few years. And again, I know it's practice. You've covered a lot of Colorado State football over the years. When you just kind of look at the makeup of Clay Millen and what he's doing in practice, how he leads this team at a very young age, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to play the prediction game, but does your vibe kind of tell you, man, this guy could be something special for Colorado State?
Oh, yeah, you just got to kind of watch him. You know, he handles everything right. He talks to his teammates the right way. He jokes around at times with them, things like that. He's got that leadership quality to him. You know, I don't know how much hype there is. I mean, I think there's a lot of confidence around him. And I think a lot of people have confidence in him. But I do like the way the coaching staff is not building him up to be the end-all, be-all, and the guy that's going to be perfect right off the bat. They know better that he's not. I mean, I think that we started a freshman quarterback was Pete Thomas. Mm. And Steve Fairchild kind of built him up. And Pete Thomas is not exactly the career record holder in anything at Colorado State. Matter of fact, as it turned out, he wasn't even the best quarterback in his recruiting class. That became Garrett Grayson. So I like the fact that they're not putting the world on this kid's shoulders. And I think if they did, he would be smart enough to just say, no, I'm going to knock this over here to the side. I'm just going to go play.
I think it's an interesting balance, right, Mike? You want to build him up, but you don't want to build him up to the point where it's like this guy is going to just game one, it just be invincible, unstoppable. But you want him to be excited. You want to motivate him in those right ways. You're right. The things that he says, he was on yesterday just talking about how, you know, he feels like it's his team, but it's other players' team, other leaders' teams that have been there for the last couple of seasons, too. That's what I really like is he's confident in his own ability, but he is quick to say, you know, this team still belongs to a lot of those guys that were here putting the time and effort in well before, you know, I even thought about coming to Colorado State.
Yeah, he's a very impressive young man, and in terms of the way he's come in, and it was funny. I mean, you're out there at spring practice, and we're like four into it, and I'm standing on the sidelines with somebody, and somebody goes, "All right, so who's the starting quarterback?" The two freshman quarterbacks go, "It's number 11. Everybody knew right then and then who the quarterback was. There was not really like a quarterback competition. This kid has been groomed. He's been in the system for a year. And he carried himself that way with a confidence, not an arrogance, as he was still learning. He knows he's still learning. He knows he's thrown two college passes. And the good thing is they were both at Canvas Stadium, but they were against Colorado State. He's got some things to learn. He still has some defenses to read. You know, he still has to be in a situation where the game's on a line, it's 3rd and 11, and he's got to make the right choice. When he played against Colorado State last year, that was not the case. So there are going to be some things that he's going to have to do that he hasn't done yet, but he's been trained to do them. And I think he feels really good about how well he knows the offense and what decisions he's got to make. Now, all of a sudden, the only thing that's left is somebody allows him the chance to go out and make those decisions under live bullets, as they said.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Just kind of looking again at the overall with Coach Norvell, we talked about the positives of – there's positives and negatives with the transfer portal, certainly, but being able to bring so many of those familiar faces from Nevada over to CSU, I think it's safe to say it was more positive for CSU on that side of things, certainly more so than the team up north in Wyoming. Does it feel like, or according to Jay Norvell, does he feel ahead of the game as we sit here and talk on this Tuesday? A week and a half before the first game of the season?
I kind of asked him yesterday in his press conference where he felt like that they were and if they were in a good spot. And he did allude to the fact that, yeah, there was a lot of things that they had to do, but they put them in a ton of situations, as many as they could. He actually feels like this team's a little bit further along than some of them he's had, which sounds kind of nice because there's 59 new players on this roster. He inherited some. They brought in some guys from other places. I mean, that's more than half of your roster that was not here last year, and you're the new coach. So I don't know. I mean, he's feeling good about it, but he also knows that there's still a lot of work that they've got to do because these are two brand new systems. I mean, everybody's talked about the offense and what it is, but, you know, Freddie Banks' system is new to this. I mean, this is a 4-2-5. They're going to play with the nickel all the time. You know, they've got heavy nickels, and they've got light nickels, and they've got different things in different situations, but the other thing that I think has also been neat is, like, I wrote a story, it'll come out later today, and it's about the defensive line and how everybody thought that was going to be kind of a weakness. I mean, there was a big hit there because you lose Patchen, you lose Manny Jones, and you lose Toby McBride, right? So you look at the starting four, they started 47 games. They had 47 games played, and they started, right? So the backups behind them played in a total of 32 games. Five guys played in 32 games, and one of them was Mo Kamara, who didn't play. He played in every game, but didn't play a lot because he was a pass rush specialist. But, you know, he was effective in those roles. That leads me to what I liked about what Banks has talked about. If you have a specific skill, they are going to use it and get the maximum. If you're not a great run stopper, but you can be a pass rusher, that's great. They talked about Brandon Hickerson Rooks has been moved to defensive end, because he proved to them he is a good pass rusher. So now you've got a spot pass rusher for third down situations or definite passing situations, and he might only get 10 reps a game, but if those are 10 really good reps and it helps somebody else get some rest, they're going to be fresher. And that's the one thing. He feels good. He rattled off 8 names. These guys are going to play. They're going to give us some rotation. Our guys are not going to be dog tired because – You know, that was a pretty good defensive front that CSU started out with last year. But the last four games of the year, they gave up more than 1,100 yards rushing.
Yeah.
No, they were tired.
Yeah, no question about it. So much maybe put on that D-line, too. Mike, on the 4-2-5, how tough of a transition is that? And again, luckily bring over, you're getting guys maybe you think early on that can fit into that style of defense. But you're right. I mean, offensively, we've certainly talked about the guys that can plug into what Jay Norvell and Matt Mumme want to do. But Freddie Banks wasn't with them in Nevada at that point. So how difficult do you see that transition, especially for the first couple of weeks of the season going into that 4-2-5 defense?
I think they feel confident in what they're supposed to be doing in it right now. Again, you've got to do it against somebody. And Michigan's a team that can run the ball. You know, they will throw off play action. So they're going to have to learn how to disguise what they want to do against Michigan. They're going to have to come. They're going to get a prime opportunity right now to prove that they can be a good run-stop team, because this is going to be a challenge for them. That's obviously going to be the case. So they're going to learn some things about themselves and exactly what they think they know. But the one thing that is nice is this will be an aggressive style of defense. So he's going to let them play. He's going to expect them to run. I think there's some quickness scattered throughout the defense that they like, that they will try to use to their advantage. And the other thing that they preach a lot, and this generally comes, and you figure this out if a team's good or not during games, is can they be ball hawks? Can they create turnovers? Because this hasn't been a defense that's created a lot of turnovers the last handful of years. You're a much better defense if you can do that. So that's another thing that they're looking to find out. Is this team opportunistic enough that if, you know, one guy's got the tackle made, is the second guy and the third guy coming in punching and stripping at the ball and trying to create turnovers?
Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. We'll see as this week progresses and then shift our focus into, at least from our side standpoint, all things Michigan next week. Hey, real quickly, Mike, I got about a minute here. You do have Wyoming and then Mountain West, a couple of Mountain West teams playing. Wyoming getting set to go up against Illinois this weekend. What are your thoughts there? Does Wyoming win this game?
I don't think so. But I'll be interested to watch some of these teams play, because I think Fresno plays too.
Yeah, I think so.
Or Utah State has. Fresno doesn't play.
Utah State plays UConn.
I don't know about you. I like college football a lot. So I'm going to try and watch as much college football as I can this weekend. And I think we've got three or four teams in the Mountain West that are playing. So I'll take a look and see what things are happening and what they're doing. Because, I mean, Wyoming had a lot of turnover too.
Yeah, a lot.
It'll be interesting to see what they have. And, you know, Hawaii obviously was just, you know, decimated. I'll be curious to see what they look like and what Timmy Chang's doing out there. Utah State's got some interesting parts. I think they took some hits on defense, but I still think they're a good team. So I think they'll be fun to watch. And it gives you kind of an idea of what you're going to see later on down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Several Mountain West teams in action. Nevada, Utah State, UNLV, yep. Wyoming. So should be good. Mike, appreciate you as always, my man. We do have actual football that means something this weekend, so I know we're all excited about it.
I'm very excited to watch somebody else play Zero Week, and I'm very excited that it's not Colorado State.
Mike, appreciate you as always. Love your stuff, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Take care.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. 12:51 the time. We'll wrap up this hour, second hour. We'll get to today in the NFL. I've got Cody Tucker from 7220. More on the Kevin Durant Nuggets stuff. So we'll get to all of that and more. Kevin Durant not with the Nuggets stuff. Okay, let me just be clear. Whole show continues. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twelve fifty-four. The time. Ooh, that's good. That's just good stuff right there, Angel. Great job by you. Welcome back into the whole show. Yeah.
Just discovering Metallica recently.
So you weren't a big Metallica guy before Stranger Things?
No, I'll admit. I knew who they were. I know that they are heavy rock.
Yeah.
Wasn't really my style, but certain scenes, season 4, made me wonder. Let me see. Let me give this a listen.
What are you thinking?
Well, like, I started listening to it when I go to work out.
Yeah. Well, and it's good workout music.
The first album that we just Kill 'Em All.
Yeah.
Love it. Destroy. What was it? Motor Breath. Good stuff.
It's weird for me. So obviously Metallica was fantastic in the 80s too. And kind of did some stuff in the 90s, kind of went away for a second, but we still all loved what they did. Like, my generation still loved all the stuff that they produced, you know, early 80s, whatever that was. You know, mid 80s, I think 82 or 81 or something like that was Hit the Lights. Then they kind of put out some new stuff in the 2000s, which was still pretty good. I was still into it. So I remember Saint Anger coming out like in the 2000s, and a lot of people were complaining. But it's interesting to see that this generation, not generation, but early 20s, mid 20s, they weren't really, didn't seem like a lot of Metallica fans unless you grew up being a rock fan. But Metallica caught a lot of casual music fans back in those in my days. Anyway, even if you weren't a rocker, Metallica still resonated with some.
No, it's good stuff. You just like guitars and shredding. And,
oh man,
you know, just good, just heavy metal stuff.
Do you have a favorite song so far?
Ooh, I think you mentioned it. Hit the Lights.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
One was always is really good. It's long. I mean, they have a lot of songs. For Whom the Bell Tolls, obviously, that's one I can listen to for a while.
Enter Sandman.
That's, yeah, Fade to Black, classic, Enter Sandman. Yeah. Like, those are going to be... There's some deep stuff, too, man, that they do. One's probably my favorite, though.
Oh, Fuel. That's another one,
yes,
I like.
Yes, yep. Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, it's Top Text Tuesday today. Well, Kenny Swami, you can forget about him because he looks like every 30-something who is slain. Who are we talking about? Who? You can forget about who? Who?
Who?
You can forget about him because he looks like every 30-something who's slamming PBR, being way too competitive in his rec softball team? Who was
that? Is this about Kirk Cousins?
Is this about Kirk? Oh, I guess the text was at 12:27. I should read the text more. Kirk Cousins looks like a PBR guy in a rec softball. I don't know. I don't play rec softball. So I don't know what those dudes look like. I didn't know.
Tanner plays rec softball.
I was going to say before Tanner, I didn't know a lot of dudes played rec softball. Final hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.